Sometimes I think people go to church and
don't even know why. Why are we here today? You know, are we here for a social gathering? We love to fellowship, but is that why we come? We love just to be around other people? You know, do we like to come and sing songs? We just like singing and songs touch our hearts. Maybe we need to keep up with prayer requests, or you know, just like the things we do in the order of the service, the specials and things that we have. And thank you for those today, by the way. I'm not down on specials. I'm just saying, you know, this is part of the reason we're here. Traditions that we do. You know, sometimes we need to ask, why are we here? And, you know, this is called a house of worship. And so worship should be the center of what goes on here. You know, all throughout the Old Testament, you know, all throughout Moses and Aaron was, let my people go so they may worship the Lord their God. You know, let my people go. Why? So they can worship God. Worship has some different meanings. One of them is to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. I think you see that in a lot of the way people treat entertainers today. I'll lump all entertainers in there, movie stars, sports stars, singing stars. I think there's people that that literally worship those people today. Seems like we see more and more statues going up for people, and especially sports players anymore. A lot of statues going up. I'm not sure how I'd feel about a statue going up for myself, but apparently it doesn't bother them a whole lot. But so there's that. There's one more that we tenderly think of, to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power. And then there's the old English version of worship, where it's a combination of worthy and ship, with worthiness meaning respect, worthiness, reverence, and the ship part actually had a meaning of quality or condition. So we still use those words. We have friendship, you know, we have discipleship, you know. So what is the quality or condition of our friendship or our discipleship? And worship, you know, what is the quality or condition of our worship, our reverence, our respect for God, what we do? So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to be in John chapter 4, verses 19 to 26. This is you're familiar with it, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. You know, he kind of went there by himself, met her there as she come for water. This is kind of the end of it. But John 14, 19 to 26 says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will gather. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Father. Again, as always, open it up. Make it clear to us. Just let the Spirit speak the words. Let the Spirit allow us to hear what you have for us, Lord. Change up anything that I mess up on, Lord. Make it unheard, or fix it to where it's correct. But let them hear your word this morning, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, you know, our question, where do we worship? Where do we worship? And I think you can look at that as also, where do we find God? Where do we find God? You know, lots of people are looking for God. Almost everybody's looking for God. They just don't even know it. They're just looking for something. They're looking for Him. They're looking in the wrong places. Now she says, you know, our ancestors said this mountain's where we're supposed to do it. This mountain was Mount Gerizim in Samaria. When Israel came to the promised land, Mount Gerizim was the mountain of blessings. On one side, Mount Ebal was the mountain of curses on the other side when they got there. So she was saying Mount Gerizim was the main mountain here. So Samaritan people were people who inhabited the northern province after the Syrian captivity. And they weren't accepted by the Jews when they returned from Babylon because they couldn't prove the purity of their lineage. These were people who had intermarried people brought in by the Assyrians and were thought of as kind of mixed half-breed type people. So they were pretty much shunned by the Jewish people. And so they became the Samaritans. They weren't allowed to help or worship in the temple in Jerusalem, which is on Mount Moriah. So you kind of had this battle. The Jews on Mount Moriah, and you got the Samaritans on Mount Gerizim. And Samaritans weren't allowed to do, so they did their own thing. They had their own worship center. They had their own sacrifices. They had their own, they used the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. They didn't use the rest of it, but they did use the first five books of Scripture. And all that just caused further separation between the two groups. So Samaritans had a worship. It was just a mixed worship. They chose the parts they wanted to do. And that's what people do who are looking for God. Sometimes they pick and choose what they like to fit in into our mold, you know, to our likes, to our needs, because we prefer to change Him instead of allowing Him to change us. It's much more convenient that way if we make Him to be what we need Him to be. Jesus said, a time's coming when you won't worship on either mountain. Says the place won't matter. Says the location isn't the focus. Says you worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. Salvation is from the Jews. Well, salvation is from the Jews because the Messiah was coming through that lineage, and that's why salvation is from the Jews. Says we worship what we know. At that point He's there. He's standing in front of her. Jesus was the Messiah, and why He was coming. Where she says, you don't know what you're worshiping. You don't know what you're worshiping. And again, I don't think a lot of people realize what they're worshiping today. They call it that, but they don't really understand what they're doing. There's some people that worship religiously. And I never did like the word, somebody said you were religious. That wasn't a compliment to me. That's not something you want to be, I don't think. That you can be religious towards something that just means your focus is right. It can be sincere, but it doesn't mean it's right. It can be sincerely wrong, but it can be sincere. They just keep doing the same things over and over. You know, there's handed down rituals that get done. You know, some of the things, we've always done it that way. It's like at work, you know, well, we've always done it that way. Sometimes there's a better way. Sometimes there's a different way to do things. Sometimes things change for the better. But we get stuck in some of our old ways, which some of the Jews have been doing. They've been stuck in some of the old ways. You know, there's a new way now. Jesus is here. And then usually is our ways the right way. You know, this is the way you need to do it. This is how we've done it. And it's the way we need to keep doing it. And, you know, even the woman, you know, our ancestors, it goes back, this is the way we were brought up. We've always done it. This is the way we need to do it. You know, so we need to look at, you know, do the things we do have a biblical basis? You know, make sure we're on a biblical basis, or are they just things man has added or if we've added. And so don't get too caught up in the traditions and schedules and things like that, because we get comfortable. Well, we know what to do, we know what comes next, and we need to be a little more open than that. We need to be a little more flexible than that. Excuse me. I guess one of the main points is being here shouldn't be routine. It shouldn't be an exercise. I'm just going through the motions. Being here should be an experience. You know, it can be an exercise, you know, well, we do this, and then we do this, and then we do this. But it should be an experience when you come here. You should be looking forward to an experience. So don't be here without a desire and a plan to experience communion with God. That's what worship is. That's what church is about. It's with fellowship. It's all those other things. It's fellowship. It's sharing. It's praying. It's praying for one another. It's all those things. But it's a worship where it's you and God. And you need to come ready for an experience and not just go through the exercise of it. Don't let it get a routine. Make sure you come plan for an experience with God. Don't go through the motions and attend, but just don't know why. Just because it's the thing to do. We just go on Sundays. Just because we always have. You know, brought up that way, brought that way. You don't get a lot of spiritual momentum doing it like that. It's pretty limited. So don't come and then don't leave empty. You know, come expecting an experience and don't leave empty. Come to be filled. Come to have an experience. Then there's other worship righteously, you know, where the place doesn't matter. You know, Christ died for our sins. The veil was torn when he died. The Holy of Holies was open. Conditions changed. He changed everything. The conditions changed. Righteous worship is worshiping God, not places. It doesn't matter the building, how big, how small. It doesn't matter what the ancestors did. It doesn't matter the differences in how we do things. It doesn't matter about the bands. It doesn't matter about the music. It doesn't matter about the programs. It doesn't matter even about the people. All those things can be idols if we allow them to be. We're to worship Jesus. And I think sometimes I've seen people get in the problems of worshiping all of those things. I think I've seen music worship. I think I've seen in some places pastor worship. And it shouldn't be like that. You're here for Jesus Christ. You're here for the Lord. And that's what the worship is to be. So your focus needs to be on him. Now, you don't know what your worship is if you aren't saved. Because if you're not saved, it's not real worship. You're more into the other stuff. But now the true worshipers, he goes on to say, now the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Those are worshipers that God seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So we must worship in spirit. You know, it's the Holy Spirit. There's spiritual realities. It's not places and rituals and traditions. It's your spirit when you come and getting it in tune with God. And again, you can do this any place, but that's part of your worship wherever you're at, is your spirit and God's spirit's being together, being kind of meshing together, and you're talking to him, he's talking to you, you're telling him, you know, you're worshiping in prayer and in praise and maybe songs. All those things are part of it, but it's really you and him joining together, your spirits joining together, where you can actually feel his presence and experience his presence. And it has to be in truth, because then it has to be the whole word of God. You have to be knowing the whole word is true. You're trusting what he said. You're trusting who he is. It's genuine. It's not just a display. It's wholehearted. We've given ourselves to Him. You know, go back to, where is God found? Well, He's found wherever you are. That's where He's at. He says He's in the hearts and the lives of His children. You're a believer, you're a child of God. That's where He is. He's in your heart. He's in your children. His Spirit surrounds us. Some try to keep Him in a box. You know, we only get Him out when we want Him. You know, otherwise we put Him back in the box and get Him out of sight, out of mind until we need Him. He's way bigger than that. Can't put Him in a box. Sometimes, something even worse, we treat Him like the genie in the bottle. You know, we just want our wishes. Just grant our wishes. But God's not limited. You know, we can't put Him in a box. He's not in a bottle. He's not there to grant wishes. He's there to join us in a communion of our souls. Us and Him, to join together, to understand each other, and us to be all about Him. And, you know, lose some of the whys and just get into trust and faith and being part of Him. And, you know, He's not limited. He's everywhere. He's in churches. He's in homes. He's in cars. He's in schools. You say you can't let God be in school. He's in schools. You know, you can't have prayer in school. Prayers are in schools. You can't stop. You can't stop a kid from praying in school. I mean, you just can't. I mean, God's in schools. God's in offices. He's in foreign farms. He's in manufacturing plants, amusement parks, regular parks. God is everywhere you are. You're surrounded. He is there. Now, if that bothers you a little bit, you might want to revisit your standing in Him, where you are in your relationship with Him, because He's surrounding you at all times. But it should give you great comfort and peace and joy to know you're surrounded by His presence, that He's always there, no matter what. No matter what's going on in life, good, bad, otherwise, He's always there. And if you're a child of God, you can always go to Him. You can commune with Him. But worshiping Him is a big part of it. Psalms 100, let's say 1 through 5, but that's all there is. It's Psalms 100. It says, "Shout for the joy of the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." That's why we worship. That's why we worship. That's how we worship. We sing these songs. They're joyous, but they're not just for songs. They're worshiping the Lord. We're telling Him how joy we have through songs. It's guiding us to Him. Everything we do is to guide us to Him. Our prayers guide us to Him. Our songs guide us to Him. The Sunday school, the message is all to guide us to a stronger relationship with Him, to worship Him, to give Him His due reverence and just then we know who He is. Now there's, again, the other ones that get tied up with stuff that goes on. Matthew 15, 3 through 9. It says, "Jesus replied, 'Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" So, we need to be real. can't come and just sit and say all the right things, maybe even do all the right things, and our hearts are not in the right place. We have to have a heart of worship to God. A heart, we need to be genuine, be real. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I think Tom read this earlier, I believe, but it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will, what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, worship's giving all of yourself. It's your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. It's giving all of ourself, all of our being to God. That's worship. That's giving Him our voice. That's giving Him our feet, our hands, our mind, our eyes, our ears. It's giving all of them to Him because He deserves it. You know, He's given us everything. He's given us life. He's given us life. He's given us rebirth life. He's given us abundant life if we're able to grab a hold of it. It's there for us. So we worship by giving ourselves and totally surrendering to God, to God's will and His way. You know, we use prayers, we use praise, we use singing. Alfred Gibbs was a writer, and he wrote a book, Worship, the Christian's Highest Obligation. And I kind of like how he broke it down. Prayer. Prayer is the occupation of the soul with its needs. Praise. Praise is the occupation of the soul with its blessings. Worship. Worship is the occupation of the soul with God Himself. It's all about God. So when we pray, our soul has needs and wants and desires. We praise God with the blessings that our soul has, but we worship with God Himself in mind, really understanding and thinking about who He is. And who He is, that we're a part of Him. We're a part of Him. He's our Father. You know, and this woman found that out. She said, I know He's coming, I'm going to explain everything. You know, Jesus said, I am He. And once we know Jesus, He's standing before us, I am He. Jesus was God, the likeness of God. We've met Jesus, we've met God. And so we need to have that worship for what He did for us. You know, worship, it's more of an internal experience between you and God. It's your spirit and His spirit. So I just encourage you to make God your focus and expect to experience Him in this place, and not only this place, but any place else that you go. Just experience God. And make sure you come with the desire for the experience, not just an exercise to go through the motions. Yeah, went to church today. Yeah, did the regular thing, sung a couple songs, had the offering, had some praises and stuff, and yeah, went home. Come for the experience, not the exercise. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for this time here that we can come to worship You. That we're here for You, Father, that it's all about You. And help us to maintain that, to fully understand that, to give ourselves to You when we come, Lord, that we're looking for that communion with You, Lord. Not just what we can get from You, Lord, but what we can give to You. We give You our praises. We give You our prayers, Lord, but we give You our worship, Lord, which is much, much more. Just to help us to understand what that is, how big that is, and what that means to You. We just ask that You help us to get to that point where each day as we grow closer to You, that
We go closer to that communal spirit between you and ourselves. And not just here, but out on the road, Lord, out in the cars, in the kitchens, in the living rooms, Lord, wherever we're at, Lord, that's always there because you surround us. Your presence is always around us. Father, we thank you for the time to be here. We thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. And we just ask that our worship to you is pleasing. That it's something that's new and fresh each Sunday morning, Lord. We just thank you. We praise you. We just ask you to lift us up. And just guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.